Yes, and I told him, okay, before I realized that that the gospel story was the one that we see at this time every year where the lawyer is the villain. And but that's what this homily is about. Every good story needs a good villain, or should I say a bad one, to really make the story roll. And this poor lawyer doesn't seem to be able to learn anything. Last year he was doing the same stupid thing. As this year, he hasn't learned anything. He's questioning Jesus. He's blind to his own faults, and wants instead his status as an expert in the details of Old Testament law. He wants his expertise to be a point of pride where other people recognize him, and he can stump Jesus with his questions. Now, wait a minute, you might say, of course the guy didn't change. Scripture doesn't change. But the point is not whether he changed since last year, but whether you and I did. And so that's where I want to go with today's homily. I want to make three points of comparison, not between us and the hero of the story, the Good Samaritan, but between us and the villain. That's not as much fun, is it, to watch a movie or to hear a story in which we find ourselves more like the villain or the bungler than the hero. The first point of comparison between him and us is that every one of us, when we come into this room, literally when we come before Christ, we're all bringing our broken and our real selves before Christ. And the fact is that, however, that we're bringing our broken and unhealed selves, not our real selves. Orthodox spirituality teaches us that our real selves are meant, we're a chip off of God's block. We're meant to be in communion with him and with one another. And rather than the broken and unhealed selves that react to other people and get crossways with our neighbors, our spouses, our fellow parishioners, and all the different contexts where we have opportunities for what is weak in me to misunderstand what is weak or unhealed in you. And this lawyer, when he tries to ask Jesus the tricky questions, reminds me of a rooster strutting around a barnyard, making noise, pecking at the other birds, and displaying his feathers. He asks Jesus this question. Why? Because he thinks he can't lose. He thinks if Jesus gives the right answer, he can, in front of everybody, pat himself on the back and say, "Oh, yes. Very wise teacher, you're correct." But if Jesus bungles it, or if he thinks that he bungles it, then he gets to correct Jesus in front of everybody. So this is the rooster side of questions like this, I think. I went to college with a guy who, in our Bible and theology classes, would read ahead of the lecture and be very well prepared on what he knew the professor was going to touch on. And at some point in the class, fairly often, this young man's hand, we called him Maury. Maury's hand would shoot up, and he would ask. He'd be called on by the professor. He'd ask a long-winded question, and then give the answer, and then say, "Isn't that right, sir?" Well, it worked for him. The rest of us did. After the first three or four times, we're impressed. I went away to seminary a few years later. Maury transferred off to another college. In the meantime, and I went to seminary a few years later, and there was a guy whose dad was one of the leading theology professors at the school that Maury had transferred to. So I asked Rob, did he ever meet Maury? He said, "Did I ever meet Maury?" He said, "Wait till you hear the story about my dad in his class." Maury liked to study up on the subject of the lecture. And when the the appropriate time, he would ask this long-winded question, give the answer, and say to the professor, "Isn't that right, sir?" And Rob said, "My dad put up with that two or three times." And then the next time Maury tried it, he sat down at his desk and started writing on a pad. And when Maury came to the punchline and said, "Isn't that right, sir?" my dad said, "Don't ask me, Maury. I'm taking notes from you." That's the villain in us. The villain in us that likes to use other people, our friends, our neighbors, our ministry assignments to shine, often at the expense of others. Isn't it a dumb thing that we still do? I hope you young people aren't turned off by the dark side of this focus on the villain, because you're going to be tempted to go there too, because it's really uncomfortable to face the villain side of ourselves. The second point of comparison with the villain here is how long and tightly he hangs on to himself and his broken self and his strategy here. Jesus has turned the tables on him by saying, what do you think the law teaches? He's answered correctly. But of course, he's done it in a self-aggrandizing way. All these things I have done from my youth up, right? Of course I know this. I've been doing this for years. And then at the end of the story, when he realizes what Jesus has done, that Jesus has exposed his broken self to him in front of others, all the lawyer can seem to do is mutter, "The guy who had mercy on him." And not very joyfully at that, I imagine, because he's asked, "Who is my neighbor?" to try to set Jesus up again. He loves the drama, he wants to be the hero, and can't see himself as the goat. The third final point of comparison between us and the villain is how gracious Christ is to him. He doesn't expose him in front of everybody, at least not directly. He doesn't trash him. He doesn't point the finger at him and say, "Look at this fool. This guy can't stay out of his own way." Instead, he's patient. He's focused. He's gentle. He's kind. But he gets to the same place. Where our sins are necessarily manifest to ourselves, if not to others. So how does this apply to me and you? Number one, we bring an unhealed self into this room every time we come here. Every time we come to our ministry assignments. Every time we meet up with our neighbors or encounter people at work. We bring an unhealed self, and the church is the spiritual hospital where we're meant to get well. We're not meant to focus on much of anything else except that task of fulfilling our destiny of being one with Christ by becoming well. Second point of comparison is that you and I give up our autonomy. We give up the script that we've written in which if we're not the absolute star of the whole story, we're at least playing a supporting role to the hero. And you know, very seldom are we the real, you know, like the totally bad villain either. But our sins accumulate and we become little villains in the moment, or at least I do. And then third, we've been treated with the same gentle grace by Christ. That the story makes a point of the innkeeper pouring in oil and wine into the wounds of the injured man. That's what he does. Oil and wine to cleanse and to heal what's infected and rotten inside of me. Question: do I know the name of the sins that trouble me, that I need to deal with? Yeah, I think I do, finally. Have I made all the progress? No, I haven't. Neither have you. So we're reminded here today that each time we come together, the privilege of our community, of our long held bonds with one another, is not to be like the lawyer who staggers off into the darkness, burdening himself and others with sinful egotism and blindnesses that he can't face or deal with. Our call is to name our sins, go to confession, let stuff go. Step forward into the light of humility, repentance, freedom, love, and joyful fellowship with God on the road, not just to fellowship and joy and fulfillment of our origin in Christ in this life, but in the life to come. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.